Building Commission's Hurricane Research Advisory Committee meeting of September 13, 2021. The first order of business is to remind us of how it works best for teleconference. Be aware of background noises. Everything that you do in the background will be amplified and it'll make it difficult for the meeting to proceed. Mute your device when you're not speaking. Please, if you're on a phone, don't put yourself on hold. Use the mute function. And please wait until invited to speak, and each time you speak, including committee members, state your name when you're speaking and or making or seconding motions as well. With that, I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call to ensure that we have a quorum. Chairman Schock.
Here.
Sergio Escunce.
Present.
All right. Joe Belcher.
Here.
All right. Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Thank you. Ann Cope.
Jeff, Eric Stafford's our alternate. I'm taking our place today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Eric. So Eric Stafford is here. Commissioner Gross.
I'm here.
Very good. Mark Michelson.
I'm here.
Very good. Craig Perino. All right. John Plisich.
Present.
Mike Savage. Angela Shadle.
I'm here.
Commissioner Schiffer.
I'm on.
Very good. Jeffrey Schnellman.
Here.
Vince Seha.
Here.
And Commissioner Swope. All right, well, we have all the three members, so we have 14 members present. Just double check on those Craig Perino, Mike Savage, or Brian Swope. All right. Well, we have 14 out of 17, certainly constitutes the quorum. The next order of business is to identify our EDPR staff. We have Tom Campbell, Mo Madani, Justin Bogle, Jim Hammers, myself, Jeff Blair, and I think take this opportunity to welcome Sabrina Evans, who has taken Chris Howell's place, and welcome her to the team. All right, so the next order of business is the agenda. So today's agenda is really primarily to conduct two pieces of business in addition to the normal procedure, which is to provide provide comments on ICP's Appendix C existing building spaces as the new Draft 2 was submitted, and then to provide recommendations on the University of Florida's proposed research project to review building recertification in Miami-Dade Broward County, and then discuss any next steps for the next meeting. So that's the primary purpose, those two primary goals. Unless there's any questions, is there by name a motion and a second to approve the meeting agenda as posted, please?
Ben Sejas, a move to approve the agenda as posted.
Schiffer will second.
A motion and second from Sejas and Schiffer, respectively. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Our last meeting, August 27th, 2021 meeting minutes were posted and linked to the DPIS. Does anybody have any revisions or corrections? And if not, is there a motion to accept the meeting minutes as they were posted?
Jeffrey Gross.
Yes, sir.
My first name is spelled a little different than I think the other Jeffreys on the team. It's J-E-F-F-E-R-Y. So in the minutes and in the agenda, it needs to be corrected. It's a Jeffrey instead of Jeffrey.
Okay. So,
and with that, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes change.
All right.
Ben will second it.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as revised, correcting Commissioner Gross's first name spelling in both the minutes and the agenda. Any other comments? Otherwise, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, the next order of business is to provide comments on the ICC's draft Appendix C existing building safety inspection guide. So I want to give us a quick little overview first of how we're going to proceed. So the goal of the committee is to provide comments only. We're not going to be approving or any changes or any revisions, but just providing comments. So what we'll do first is we'll ask the ICC team to sort of walk us through how the various comments they received were dealt with, either incorporated into draft two or not. Then take your additional comments, and then we'll ask that the committee by next Monday the 20th would provide any additional comments on the second draft once they've had a chance to review it since it came out, I think, on Friday. And then, as needed, the committee would meet again to provide to kind of walk through the next draft if there are revisions and to provide comments. So that's the thought process. So again, we're providing comments. We're not approving or making recommendations on approval of this particular document. Before I turn it over, I presume that Dominic Motives, is there anything you wanted to say or anybody from BBPR staff want to say anything on this before we jump into this?
This is Mama Donnie. No, that's fine. What you said is okay, Jeff. Just go ahead and see Dominic on the line to give us a suggestion. Thank you.
Thanks, Mo. All right, Dominic, if you kind of, you received comments from a variety of people, Larry Murphy, Rick, Dan Labridge, David Spice, Don Whitehead, Jamie Gascon, Commissioner Jim Schock, and of course from Mo Madani, the BPR staff. If you would kind of walk us through how you dealt with those, whether they were incorporated or not, et cetera, and then we'll get some additional comments from you. All
right. Sure, Jeff, and I'll just provide a quick overview, and then Mike Pfeiffer and Neil will go a little more specificity. First, as you said, we received a lot of very good feedback, and we appreciate that. We won't take any time to do that. The changes are reflected in this latest draft. One change in particular I want to highlight is a comment we received from Jamie Gascon about a more precise place of demarcation for the special building environmental factor sort of zone. So we have begun to work on a Florida-specific map that's being developed with the assistance of Taylor Engineering in Jacksonville. So you will see some significant change there in the next draft. We've begun to adapt the definitions to meet that mapping project, and but it's not quite done yet. The other comment that we'd certainly like to hear, I think, more feedback from the committee on has to do with inclusion of mechanical and plumbing systems. I think there's one, there's a consideration for mounting and anchoring systems that is, probably relevant, particularly in the coastal building zones. There was a question about qualifications that we wrestled with quite a bit, and we made a little bit of change there. But for the most part, our thinking is, depending on, the area of focus, the cost and the scale of these types of inspections could be significant. And it's based on at least what we have outlined currently, it sort of calls for a public-private partnership where local code officials can perform at least a periodic inspection and then rely on design professionals for the milestone inspections and other support. I think it's important to note that Florida does have a very highly rated licensing program for code officials. And then the the last thing that I want to go over just briefly is there was a question about the rationale for the numbers in table 4.1. I think there's four ways of addressing that. First, you know, the team that the code council that's working on this project includes Mike Pfeiffer, who's on the line with us today, and Mike is a structural engineer with about 40 years of experience, and Mike comes out of the nuclear industry, if I'm not wrong, Mike. Neil Burning, who's a CBO and had decades of experience in Clark County, Nevada, which is Las Vegas, so he has a lot of experience with all types of buildings in high rise and large assemblies in particular. And then Larry Novak, who also is a PE structural engineer on our team. Folks may have met him in West Palm Beach, and Larry's has a lot of experience in concrete. He worked for the American Concrete Institute and several others. So the team that's working on it has a lot of experience. We received a lot of input from a very, I think, prestigious group of subject matter experts at the event in West Palm Beach, including experts from across the industry, owners and developers, the Department of Defense, and the insurance industry. So, you know, we've applied the comments and the feedback that we've learned from, over the last several months. And then, of course, we use some documentation that's publicly available. One I think I mentioned the last time was the German Engineering Society, who had dealt with collapses of existing buildings about a decade and a half ago or two. We relied a lot on the study and the research and the recommendations that we found in their report. And then finally, we posted this on ICC's public website, and we've begun to receive feedback from, throughout the United States. So we're, sort of amalgamating all of that feedback and information into the recommendations that we're developing currently. So with that, I'll just pause for a second, Jeff, if there are any questions initially. Then I'm going to turn it over to Mike and ask him to go through this feedback and the changes we've made a little bit more specifically, if that's desirable.
Sure. Vince Hayes here. I'm looking for a raise your hand feature, but I couldn't find it. And I have a few comments, but kind of probably sound a lot like Dan Laveridge as his comments as well. Number one,
Ben, sorry, before you do that, I think at this time it would be best if you just want to have any general comments about it, because we're going to go through the various proposed changes that the team's going to lead us through, and that would be the time to kind of bring in each point at the appropriate location, if that's what works for you.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just going to point out some of the same thing with these years, how they came up, and the comment regarding building department staff doing some of these inspections and these periodic ones. We may be duplicating what the insurance companies are already requiring or not, and that industry is probably going to shift quicker. I want to temper everybody with jumping the gun and pulling the trigger. Fortunately, this is just an appendix on a code change that we might be stuck with, and realistically, our industry is taxed as it is, and the intent of this was always for the association or the owners to hire and conduct these maintenance inspections, and we would be the custodians and kind of guide the repairs, so to speak, and be the independent third party, so to speak, making sure and keeping people honest. But this kind of is putting a lot more of the burden on the municipalities.
Right. Those are excellent comments. Let's kind of do this sequentially. Let's let the ICC folks, Mike, kind of walk us through how they responded to the comments that were already received, and at appropriate points in time in the document, you can provide those comments, and at the end we'll provide a time for additional comments. But I do want to remind everybody that the role of the committee, of the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee, is to provide comments only. We're not here to approve or make, you know, do anything of that line, of that manner, but simply to provide the comments and then provide additional feedback as the draft evolves over the period of time. So with that, let's go ahead and get Mike started. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Dominic succinctly really hit the high points of the review. As indicated in the introductory material, and as already self-identified as far as the who we received comments from, I would say 90% of the comments we basically incorporated. There was a lot of really insightful comments. I mean, Mr. Leverage had comments that talked about some of the technical requirements that we had in what we viewed as the German engineering side of it. And just for your edification, Mr. Leverage also identified that maybe this shouldn't be in the body. And so as a result, out of draft one, sections 6, 7, and 8 on existing buildings, building materials, and design loads, they have been remanded back to the resource materials in response to that specific comment. He also had some technical comments on some of the statements that were made in both the German report and I think some of the materials received from either Miami-Dade or Broward. We also removed that. So it's not shown legislatively, but it has been taken out. If we attempted to show everything legislatively, this would have been a very difficult draft to be able to review. So all we focused in on was the underlining, the new stuff, if you will. But there is indeed additional language that has been removed in response to the comments. One of the common themes was the issue of the term special inspector, which has been removed throughout with RDP, Registered Design Professional. Dom already noted whether or not mechanical plumbing should be grouped in with the issue of, for lack of a better word, the structural recertification and the current electrical recertification that's in place. So in summary, a lot of comments, there was looking at phraseology that we changed, a lot of comments on the issue of water infiltration, doors and windows that have been put into the resource materials. But again, the two comments that are still on the table, obviously, is the role of the code official. Again, ICC reviewed the role of the code official, somewhat analogous to the role of the code official at the initial construction phase, very actively involved in the inspection process. And then the other question was the issue that Dom addressed, which was the numbers, the time frame in the table of inspections. One of the common themes that came out of the panel discussion was 40 years was too long, and the numbers that were discussed were in the 20 to 25 year range. But that really is, in a nutshell, again, the preponderance of the comments received were built into this draft number 2.
Great. Okay, well, thanks, Mike. So with that, I think that was, between the two, a very clear summary. So committee members, and I'm going to go ahead and start off with Vince, if you want to go ahead and start.
With the 30-year, that's not a lot of heartache. It's just the periodic ones, again, and the leaning on the staff from the municipalities. Your regular building inspector is not going to be able to really get in there and do. I mean, some of these reviews, if you've ever been a part of them, they're up there tapping with the hammer, making sure what's loose, what's not loose. It's very involved when you're talking about these inspections, and just some of those time periods in 4.1 appear a little bit too tight. And again, these are things that we have our benchmarks set up at where you should be at a certain time. But now it looks like we're basically coddling and taking the industry by the hand. And quite frankly, there isn't a lot of staff as far as building inspectors, structural plan reviewers. At least down here in Miami-Dade County, we're very strict. We have a separate structural plan reviewer requirement that requires an engineer to have a structural specialty, We did attempt to have those engineers that also had threshold certification be also plant examiners, but that was shot down. So again, those would be the most appropriately prepared or trained to do these type of things. And quite frankly, there aren't enough, in the, at least in this jurisdiction down here in Miami-Dade, to go out and send them out to do these inspections. So staffing and qualification for this is going to be monumentally difficult to get. And again, the omnibus and the purpose of this was for it to be on the homeowner, building operator, to take charge of this, not for the municipality. So again, this is putting a lot more weight on the municipality. And again, the frequency of these reports and these inspections, I just see it's logistically so difficult. Not saying that it's not necessary or not a good idea. I'm just saying it's going to be so cumbersome. And again, there's several jurisdictions. Thank God it's an appendix that they don't have a lot of these. I also see, you know, the four-story issue, the 3,500 square feet. Miami-Dade might have a little bit more restrictive requirement because our exemptions are smaller. But still, the 15 and 30-year periodic inspections for the municipality to track, record, potentially file violations, things like that, it's going to be quite burdensome, and I would expect a lot of resistance from industry.
Yeah, Jeff, if I could respond. Vince, thanks for the feedback. And, you know, I think the sense of the committee is very helpful. Let me just clarify a couple things. One is the way we were approaching this is in terms of the periodic inspection, which is kind of just a general inspection to look for, telltale signs of a problem. The community could delegate that completely. It is, you know, it's still the responsibility of the owner to maintain the building in a safe condition. And the community could delegate that. I think what we're sensing is not all communities in Florida are the same. And, you know, particularly in smaller communities, perhaps north of Dade and Broward and you know, the highly urbanized areas, there may not be, you know, an adequate number of design professionals. So a community, you know, may want to send out a building inspector to look at a building to see if there's any telltale signs, or they may want to, you know, do a combination of design professionals and code officials. But it was put in there, at least right now, the way it's drafted, it's really at the option of the community, of the building department. The second thing is, you know, it's interesting. We had a conversation with the Florida Engineering Society, and their sense is these numbers aren't aggressive enough. But, you know, I'd be interested in knowing if 15 and 30, if you don't think those, you know, numbers are right, what do you think the right numbers would be? Because, again, we're basing our sort of perspective on, the feedback that we've received to date, and the sort of the rationale that we've received from other parts of the industry.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Vince, and then we'll get some other committee members.
Yeah. Again, it's just the repetitive nature. And don't forget, you know, like the fire department, they're already a maintenance code. They do their annual safety inspections for extinguishers and egress and whatnot. I just see it kind of duplicative. If we're going to do periodic 15 and then a milestone at 30, I don't know what we're trying to establish with the earlier periodic, or if it's just going to be a milestone at 30 and then periodically thereon after every 10 years, like we do down here in Miami-Dade, or is that 15-year going to be after the initial 30, so on. And some of the details when you get into the visual inspection nature of it, you talk about also getting a little bit more detailed with checking the strength of the concrete, and we do some destructive or recommend some core drilling and other types of inspections that no longer are visual in nature and a lot more detailed. And again, when would that be? Would that be at the 30 year? Things like that, that I'm just, and again, we're just lacking with personnel and staff in the industry wide.
We asked that, this issue came up at the workshop we held in West Palm Beach, the idea of repurposing or reusing some existing, inspections of some type. In fact, the insurance industry was there, and so was Collier Properties. And, the feedback we got from that was that owners are very reluctant to let go of internal inspections, particularly from their insurance carriers. I think it would be great if you could repurpose either insurance inspections, or I think one of the comments was, what about the Joint Commission, which, inspect hospitals on an annual basis. We provided some exemptions in those cases, but I think if we could certainly put some language in here that says if the local building department wants to accept an inspection or a report from another provider in order to save time and reduce the cost of the owner, I think that would probably be a good idea.
Okay, let's hear from some other committee members.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim Schock here. I have a comment.
Sure, Jim. Go ahead. Sorry.
First of all, I think you have to keep in context what we are doing here. When I reviewed this, I reviewed it as if it were an ICC addendum, not a Florida-specific addendum, and that it would be something that if it property safety code did get into the Florida code, this would be an appendix which would have to be individually implemented by the local jurisdiction as a local technical amendment and could be revised to meet that jurisdiction. So a lot of the comments that I have, and even on the second comment, the second draft, has to do with keeping it more general. For example, they had, as Dominic just suggested, they had about the hospital at NACA in Florida here and the education system. That may not be the case all around the country, so I would tend to leave those kind of things out and let that be to a local jurisdiction. To Vince's comments, I agree. I don't know that the building official really has the time and in some cases the ability to do some of these inspections. I think that it should be a design professional for the most part. But in the terms of design professional, a lot of the draft says the design professional licensed in the category that he's inspecting and not just qualified. And that's not true in Florida. In Florida, engineers aren't licensed by plumbing, mechanical, electrical. And that's the same way in a lot of states. So I think that terminology, we need to be careful in that terminology. And they're probably my primary comments, at least from the second draft. I hadn't had a chance to look at it too close yet. Other than that, I agree with a lot of the things that Dan Lavery had. If this were a specific Florida document, I probably wouldn't have mechanical and plumbing in there. But I didn't interpret it that way. I interpreted it as a larger document that's nationwide that is customized by the jurisdiction.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Those were excellent comments and on target as well. Committee members, other thoughts and ideas regarding specifically, some of the things that the ICC team brought out, the role of the code official, a number of the time frames of inspections, and I think maybe what Jim said as well in terms of this being an appendix for a larger audience, and that Florida would adopt with local jurisdictions could adopt and revise it as appropriate for their localities. Thoughts?
Hey, Jeff, Sergio Escondese.
Sure, George, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I truly want to be cautious about getting the building official involved in these inspections. And it's also about what kind of responsibility is the jurisdiction going to take about making a judgment call that we may not be qualified to make as far as we're not being engineers. I know down here in Miami-Dade County, after the collapse, the county mayor ordered an audit of those buildings that were undergoing recertification. And we sent out inspectors just to do a cursory review, making sure that we didn't see anything awful, but we were really not making, when we did see concerns, we really were not making any judgment call. We were basically saying, you need to get a structural engineer out here and make a better determination. We were trying not to determine whether the building was safe or unsafe. And unfortunately, there was one inspector down here that got kind of caught up in this issue for making certain statements through an email. And that's kind of, you know, what we want to be careful about. Certainly, staffing is an issue down here. We're short staffed, and to take upon all these inspections. Now, you know, milestone, or whether you call it a milestone or regulatory inspection that happens at 30 or 20 years, I think there's also should be a recurring after that, maybe every 10 years after the initial milestone or regulatory inspection, so that every 10 years we capture the buildings and we get a full report, much like Dade and Broward currently do. And when you talk about a time frame for coastal and a time frame for interior, logistically you got to remember how these buildings are selected. Currently, Dade and Broward, they use the property appraisers born on date or the year built, and that doesn't change. So basically, we get a report, a database every year for buildings that are 40 years and older, and we use that to mail out. If you select different time frames, then that creates a need for a totally different database because the property appraiser is not geographically identified, the building. So that necessitates a totally different type of database that each jurisdiction would have to provide. And in Dade and Broward, for example, all the jurisdictions within each county, they use the property appraisal because there's a level of consistency. So it's almost better that if you choose a period that for coastal and interior, that maybe it's the same, just to make it easier as far as logistics about selecting or getting a database for these buildings that are due. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, this is Mo Madani. Can I say something?
Sure. Sure, Mo, go ahead.
I wonder, if you go back to the last meeting, we did present what's really happening in the state of Florida with regard to local adoption of unsafe standards for buildings. And we have found that a large number of the local jurisdictions are using the property maintenance code, and some they use some fashion of that. So really, having an appendix that is consistent or provide a correlation to the Florida environment for this jurisdiction, I think is a good thing to do. I think an appendix that also cover Florida and provide for the at least the technical and the scientific basis for some of these jurisdictions to take and use, I think is the right thing to do. I think have it going with the fact that, hey, you know, this is a national appendix, then you are asking those local jurisdictions who has an interest in adopting this appendix through local ordinance. We're not saying that, hey, really, at this point, it's going to be a statewide mandate. That's something really we'll leave it to the future. But at the same time, you want to provide those jurisdictions with a document that they can readily use. So if you kind of take out everything that has nothing to do with Florida, whether it's flood provisions, whether wind requirements, whether then you are leaving it with a document that really a local has to struggle with. So I would think about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. All right, who else? Who's next, committee members?
Bill Belcher.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Along the lines of following along with what Mo was saying, and with the recommendation in the early part of the report was, I have not had a chance to review the second draft yet, so I won't comment on that, but just in general. Although there are jurisdictions that may have adopted and be using the property maintenance code, I think that in most cases those are not being done by the building department. When I was in Orange County, we had a separate department that handled existing inspections of housing and things like of that nature. When I was in Gainesville, we had a separate ordinance that did these kinds of things. It was not done by the building department. I agree with Vince and Sergio. I don't think this is something we want the building department to be getting involved in, other than perhaps accepting reports from design professionals, and I think those reports should be peer-reviewed. I just really don't think we want to get the building departments into doing this. I think that I recall that when the whole Florida building code thing was discussed in the legislature and elsewhere, that the reason we did not even look at in fact, at first we didn't even look at an existing building code, and we did not look at a property maintenance code, was because there are local jurisdictions that have ordinances and their own programs to deal with these things. And I really hate to see the building department get involved in these things. I also think that the mention of mechanical plumbing, I think we need to really restrict what we include in this. Whatever it's going to wind up being, an appendix or a document, I think perhaps we could use this Appendix C that I see, which I think is a good document, but maybe we could use it as an addition to the existing building code if we're going to put this in to the building department somehow, rather than coming up with a statewide property maintenance code that may conflict with existing programs in local jurisdictions. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. All right. Do any members further comments?
Hey, Jeff. It's Eric. Can you hear me?
Sure, Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment. I mean, I have read the through the first draft and glanced a little bit at the second draft. Not thoroughly looked at it. Appreciate the input provided by SMC. But I guess I wouldn't call it reservation, or just, you know, how to go about, you know, really reviewing this and making suggestions is kind of the differences in opinion described by Mo and Jim Schock. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, is this, are we developing a guideline that kind of like the enhanced construction requirements we did a couple of years ago after Hurricane Michael? That can be put out there and jurisdictions can adopt it, or we just providing the ICC comments for, for this thing to be used nationally, or are we starting to develop something to be put in the code? I think we need to decide that before we can have any real relevant reviews of this. We need to know what we're going to be doing with this. Thank you.
Okay. Other thoughts? Any other committee members have any thoughts on this comment?
Jeff, I have just one comment to one of Sergio's comments. I understand where it's coming from as far as the location of the buildings and using the property appraiser's screen. I don't think that comment is uncommon. I think that's probably true everywhere. There probably is a way that you can do a GIS overlay of the property appraiser addresses versus the control line or the breakpoint line, whatever you want to call it, to get a location of which is on what side of the line, which building is on what side of the line. So that might be an option in that case.
This is Mo Madani again. I think with regard to Eric, really questions per se. You know, I think ICC initiative came about is that, hey, you know, we feel there is a need for a program or an appendix to address inspections of existing buildings. And that's something initiative came up from ICC. And ICC really is, they want to come up with an appendix that would serve the communities within the state of Florida. So they kind of modeled this really with the understanding of the needs for Florida, especially they have used, as you see from the document, the 40 years inspection programs with the certification program for Miami-Dade and Broward. So a lot of it stuff there is there came from Florida specific, provisions that came from Miami-Dade and Broward. So I think the idea behind it is that ICC initiative is to come up with an appendix that would serve these community within the state of Florida. So they're asking for, they have a program and they're asking for our comments. So our initiative is to really, or our purpose is to provide comments to ICC so that whatever really ultimately put out, it isn't something that has the benefits of your input and comments. So we are, that's really the idea behind it. It was never really, the idea is to make it part of the code. We have no intent to do that. We have no intent to really force it on any of the local jurisdiction, you know, as a model. So a building, a local government who wanted to adopt this as a part of the NSAFE standards that they already have, they can go ahead, take it, and, you know, if they don't like to have the building official to inspect, they can have the, you know, the property owner. So there's a model, is a model appendix. So I think, sure, but your feedback and comments on it is very beneficial to ICC. So that's really what the purpose of it is, to have something that can be usable, you know, by the communities within the state of Florida. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Jeff, I have one more brief comment, and I really kind of like to stay away from the word recertification. It has sort of a different context to me and probably to a lot of engineers, and I think we need to stay away from that terminology and talk more about an inspection program or something like that.
Okay. Very good. All right. With that in mind, folks, in terms of our, you know, kind of the scope of this committee, which I think Mo just articulated very well, other thoughts and comments vis-a-vis to provide to ICC on some of these outstanding questions and issues? Okay. So Dominic, so far, based on what you received, is would the plan be for your team to sort of, you know, maybe look at it again and provide some additional, maybe a draft three, and then the committee could, the committee could have like a week, say, until next Monday to provide comments on this particular version, and based on their thinking through and digesting today's comments and discussion and some of the questions that you laid out in terms of outstanding issues, and then we could, you could decide whether you wanted to make a third draft, and the committee could then meet and provide comments on that. Does that seem reasonable from your perspective?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Just 1 minute. I just wanted to really encourage everybody, especially the committee, that if you have comments on the standards or the appendix, that you provide your written comments in a time, you know, within the time frame of the comment period. Having your written comments in advance would help to really be able to figure out how those comments could be addressed. That's really also help ICC to address them in a timely manner. Thank you.
Right. Go ahead, Dan. OK. Okay, thank you. I didn't know if it was appropriate for me to comment at this time. I've just got a couple of comments I'd like to go through. I'd like to re-stress the issue about building officials doing inspections relating to this program. I really don't think that that's the place for this, for building officials to be involved in that. That's not, they're not qualified, number one. Number two, they don't have the time. Number three, it's never been in the scope of the building department to do these types of inspections. Mechanical and plumbing, I think, should be out. I'd like to just to say to Dominic, I find a bit of a conflict in the statement of purpose in this program. The statement of purpose seems to be very clear that it's to be a general condition inspection for the purpose of seeing that the building is structurally and electrically safe, and it goes through all the same verbiage that's used in the Dayton Broward County program, which is very consistent. But then, later on in the description, you get into some of the sections 6, 7, and 8, and I know you say you're taking those out and so forth. But it seems to be that it's not clear in whoever was writing this as to just what it is that we want to do with this particular program. Is it to be a general condition inspection as stated in the purpose, or is it something to go considerably more than that? If you want to go something considerably more than that, you're getting really into a forensic investigation. It's extremely complicated, and it's going to be really expensive. And, if that's what you want to do, that certainly can be discussed. I don't think that was the intent of what the general consensus of people in South Florida or in all of Florida want to do related to these inspections. It can be discussed, but be careful. Just be careful. Think about just what it is we want to accomplish. The term recertification, I agree with Jim. I don't think we should use that term. It's actually used in the Dade County program, but if you look in the Dade County program, they define what recertification is. And it's really pretty much the same as what Broward County terms as a building safety inspection program. The problem with the term recertification, and Dominic will know from the conference that we had in West Palm Beach, it opens up a lot of people to the wrong impression of that term. They have incorrect, false expectations, so to say. And I don't think that was ever the intent of this program. The different locations for different having different locations, different exposures. Think about that, because the buildings that are in the coastal environment have a problem with corrosion of reinforcement. We all understand that. But I will also say that once you get inland, buildings start to have problems with other things other than corrosion of reinforcement. And some of those problems are just as important, perhaps, as what we find with the corrosion of reinforcement. Some of the buildings that get a little further inland have problems with rotting of wood, termites in wood, and some significant structural problems with wood portions of the structure. We've seen buildings that have had to be evacuated very recently because of those kind of problems that are quite different than what you find in the coastal. So you might want to consider keeping the same time period, which is what we've had for the last roughly 50 years in South Florida. And things have worked pretty doggone good. And one of the problems we're dealing with now is this impression that somehow a failure of the building safety inspection program led to the collapse of the Champlain Towers. Well, we don't know that to be the case. That may come out to be the case, but I don't know. Right now, we don't know, and we shouldn't be considering that to be the case in our planning for the inspection program. I think we should move carefully and deliberately. I also heard a statement made relating to the fact that 40 years was too long, and it was based upon some people's opinions. My question would be, based on what? Is it just their opinion? Did they pull it out of the air? Did they have some specific data to support that? I'm certainly willing to discuss it. I'm certainly willing to listen to it. But to just say, well, we think it should be 30 years, or somebody says, no, it should be 20 years. I've been involved in some committee activities on the county level recently where that's exactly what we're getting. Everybody's got a different opinion. Nobody has any data. Nobody has any basis for those opinions. So if you're gonna, you know, if we're gonna fix something, you know, let's fix something that's gonna be justified and that we can support. As I said, we've had this program for roughly 50 years. Worked pretty doggone good. You know, we don't know that there's any problems with it directly. If we think that we should make it better, I have no problem with that, and I'm certainly willing to discuss that. But let's have some hard data. And the final question I have is, I understand there's a second draft available of this program. I haven't seen it. Is there a way I can get a copy of it? Just let me know if there's a link. Send me the link if you can, or whatever. But Dominic, appreciate all the work you guys are doing on it. I think it's going in the right direction. But as I mentioned in my comments in writing, plus right now, be careful what you want. You know, what is it that you're wishing for, and how is it going to affect, first of all, the cost. Second of all, is it really going to be what we want to accomplish? So thanks again, Dominic. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, Dan, we really appreciate, especially the part about the inconsistency and the purpose. We'll focus on that. And, you know, I think maybe our team will loop back with you sometime this week if you have availability. You know, just to, you know, again, our philosophy here was to try to be surgical because, you know, this is an issue that has the potential to waste a lot of time and money if it's not. So, just in, you know, in a nutshell, what we're attempting to do is to create or identify areas where buildings need more consistent, regular attention without overburdening, you know, both the owner and the building department. So we'll keep working at it, and we appreciate your comments.
Certainly. Thank you, Dom. And you mentioned if I'm available. I'm available anytime this week except Friday. You know, you can email me, you can call me if you need to. Certainly available anytime. Thank you.
It would be really helpful, I think, as Mo articulated earlier, if committee members, and Dan, you had some great comments, if you could maybe put those in writing and get those over to Mo as well so they can sort of be compiled and thought through for the next draft.
Jeff, one more thing. This is Mo, and this is for Dominic. I know from what, you know, Dominic, I know you sent us a second draft and to look at. I wonder, based on the comment that you heard and all that, do you want to take maybe 2 days and see if you want to adjust anything, and then we'll send that out for comment, or you'd rather just send what we have for comment? What do you think?
I think there's a few nuggets that we heard today that we could, why don't you let us put together a draft 2.1?
Sure, just do that, take 2 days, and then we'll send something out that maybe have, you know, at least address some of the comments or concern raised. All right, we'll wait for you to send us a better draft, as I say, 2.1. Thank you.
Okay, so great. So then the ICC team will put together 2.1. They'll get it to Mo. Mo will then send out to the committee. You have 1 week or to provide some time limit, some time frame for returning written comments, and then those will be compiled and also sent to ICC. And at our next meeting, we could look at whatever draft would be prepared, incorporating or how those comments were handled.
Also, Jeff, another question, if you don't mind, for Dominic. There is some gaps within the standards where it says, you know, especially with regard to the mapping and all that, that those will be available in the future. What are we talking about here? How close are we in those things that is not really yet incorporated?
Yeah, my understanding is the mapping will be done about the middle of October, and the soil, I don't have a
timeframe on soil.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
All right, folks, that was a good conversation. We're about ready to switch to our next agenda item. Is there any final comments?
One final item, Jeff, Joe Belcher.
Sure, go ahead, Joe.
I just wanted to mention, a couple of times we heard mechanical and plumbing being mentioned. I think maybe rather than calling it mechanical and plumbing, I do remember after one of our storms finding an air handling unit off of Publix, I think it was. It was a couple of blocks away in a street. So we might want to maybe have some language about attachment of rooftop elements or something like that rather than calling it mechanical. But I think those attachments could be something that should be, if we're going to be doing these inspections, it should be something we should be looking at as well. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, excellent comment. Attachment of rooftop equipment. Okay. Any other final comments, committee members?
I did have a general comment. This is John Plitzich. We're hearing all sorts of different ideas from different folks. I think it would be very helpful for the Florida Building Commission to send out a draft to everybody of what their intent is for this coming from the FTC. And then we can review the ICC document based on the intent from the FTC once it's nailed down of what that intent is. But hearing from all the different folks, we have different opinions of what exactly is desired and wanted from this ICC document. So I don't think we've nailed down exactly what the intent is from the FTC.
Hey, John, I think really what I've said is really what they intend. It's really, this is an initiative is taken up by ICC. They want to put together an appendix that is really complementary to the property maintenance code, the 2021, and they're focusing on providing an appendix that that address the Florida environments and all that. And that's what we're doing at this point is providing comment to ICC. There is no really anything in the horizon that I know. That's all what we're doing.
No, I understand, but that would be more of putting what you verbally said into writing and then commenting on that so we have everything is all, we're on the same wavelength. I get the impression we're not all on the same wavelength right now by which we are reviewing the ICC document.
Okay. All right, thank you, John.
Okay, and I think that there was a lot of discussion today about the scoping, and I think I don't want to say that a complete consensus, but certainly there's a lot of agreement on some of the scoping sort of being confined to more of a, as I think Dan articulated, a general condition inspection for building safety, like structural, electrical, and then equipment attachments as opposed to mechanical and plumbing stuff. So that seems to be something that ICC can work with to kind of incorporate and clarify that. All right. Then let's go ahead and move on to our next item, and this is to discuss and provide recommendations to DBPR on the University of Florida's proposed research project reviewing building recertification in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. As you recall, at our last meeting, U.S. Committee voted unanimously to recommend that a lit review should get started with charging staff to work on the scope and funding component of it. And then, of course, you also had a recommendation to proceed with the existing approved research projects. So to that regard, I think UF has revised their proposal to conform to your request. And so what we're going to ask of you is, we'll hear from, of course, from UF, but, is this the right scope of work? There's, six tasks, two deliverables that are laid out in the proposal. I'm sure you've all had a chance to read it. And then ultimately, at the end of the discussion, we would want to have a motion on terms of recommending whether to proceed with this, fast tracking this, et cetera. And I'll sort of lay that out a little further down the road. So, Mo, do you have anything you want to say before UF kind of goes over this, or how do you want to proceed?
Yeah, I think really just as you stated, the committee. Actually ask the staff to look at putting together a scope of work for the literature review to analyze building structural failure through a review of inspection reports certification reports of Miami-Dade and Broward County to mainly ultimately put together a common and targeted structural inspection program. To do that, we have contacted the University of Florida, and we have been working with them to put together a scope of work that would accomplish the goal or the objective of this research, of this research project. And with us, I believe, Jennifer, if you could give us, you know, overview of the proposal. That's what I have. Thank you.
All right. So go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi. This is Jennifer Bridge. I do have some slides that summarize that. It might be a little bit easier for us to look at. If it's okay for me to share my screen, I'll just briefly go through the proposed task.
Okay.
Okay, so hopefully you all can see my presentation there. If you've had a chance to review this, I think you kind of know the content, but I think it's worthwhile to go through the tasks. Just to mention that I'll be working with three of my colleagues. Chris Ferraro and Forrest Masters are also within SE here at the University of Florida, and Tom Speedo is a consulting engineer at Speedo and Lambert Engineering. I don't think I necessarily need to go through the background here. That was kind of presented just now. I do want to kind of mention some of the challenges, and this is really echoing a lot of the comments that were made at the last meeting. You know, we want to do this assessment of the 40-year inspection reports from Miami-Dade and Broward counties, but there's going to be some challenges associated with that. You know, there's a large number of jurisdictions and building departments. You know, it was mentioned last time that the location, the form, the accessibility of these inspection and recertification reports vary tremendously, and, you know, just a range of approaches to how these records are kept and how they are enforced. So, again, the objectives of the project were already outlined here. We want to, I should mention, you know, at this point, our target is to complete this research by June of next year. So this is, you know, a relatively short period of time to do a very large project. So we kind of want to couch this as a preliminary assessment. You know, where we can access records, we will, for these non-exempt structures in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. We want to catalog the types of reported structural damage and deficiencies. And really, you know, it's kind of twofold. What are the, what kind of damage has been reported, but then also providing this broad account of inspection and reporting practices generally. Again, as a preliminary study, you know, we can just simply provide a foundation for a comprehensive assessment of current building structural inspection practices that may ultimately be used to develop recommendations for new practices. And this, you know, again, goes along with the discussions that the committee has been having today. So going through the tasks here, the first is really to define the scope. And this kind of goes back to the idea that, you know, we're not sure what we're going to be able to get access to in a timely manner. And so our first task is really to survey the building department, assess, you know, the data accessibility, the availability. From that, we'll select a subset of jurisdictions for which we, you know, think we can get the records and go through the process with the support of this committee to request those records, determine methods for obtaining the data. You know, there may be some electronic forms, but likely we'll have to be looking for non-electronic forms of this data, travel if necessary to get the information that we need. The second task is to come up with appropriate data classification methodologies. And this is where, you know, we take the available reports, we look at the best ways to kind of categorize and classify the data, you know, along with the accompanying property appraisal data as needed, you know, things like age, occupancy, and all of the expected categories. And, you know, this gives us the framework for when we extract that data, we have a way to categorize things and assign appropriate ranges. You know, we talked about distance to the coast, types of damage, you know, areas of the structure, whether it's conditioned or unconditioned, and things like that. Once we've established the appropriate categories, recognizing that this may be something that we iterate on as we extract the data, the next task is to, extract the data, aggregate it, classify it according to the methodology that was developed in the second task. I think it's important to mention that we want to anonymize the extracted data. We're not trying to report on any specific jurisdictions, buildings, or inspectors as much as possible. And really, you know, bin the data, categorize the data in a way that we can extract statistics, again, without having to mention specific, any of the specifics. The fourth task is the process of actually analyzing the data we're able to extract and catalog. And, you know, the whole goal here is to be able to generate statistics, you know, to where we can report back to the committee our findings on, you know, the reported building conditions, inspection practices across a wide range of metrics. And, you know, this is where we will continue to seek input from the committee on the most relevant and critical reporting metrics. We have an interim report, which I'll mention in just a moment, where we'll have the opportunity to present to the committee and make sure that we're really kind of receiving that feedback and reporting the most critical aspects of the data we're able to acquire, and obviously prepare appropriate reporting tables, figures, and whatnot to communicate the results. Ultimately, we'd like to make some recommendations for a comprehensive and scalable database. This is outside the actual database would be outside of the scope of this project, but you know, with what we learn through the collection, aggregation, and analysis of the data, we can make some recommendations on looking at a more kind of comprehensive database for being able to assess the reported conditions kind of across the state. In parallel with the previous tasks, it was mentioned that, you know, while the focus of this study would be on Miami-Dade and Broward counties, that it would be worthwhile to survey the other police departments just to get a sense of, you know, are they currently implementing any programs similar to the 40-year recertification program? Are they planning or are they interested in adopting a similar program? And really to get a general kind of high-level sense of kind of observed problems in buildings older than 40 years. It's not clear that we'll get a lot of information on this, but it's important to get an initial assessment of what's happening in the rest of the state, and then, of course, report on those survey results. Finally, the deliverables. As I mentioned before, in February, we've got a target for an interim report where we'll report on the progress to date on all tasks. That'll include a presentation to the committee and just kind of a general update and opportunity to receive feedback on our progress to date. And then the hope is to wrap the project up in June of next year, deliverables of the six tasks, summary and analysis of the data we've been able to acquire, the statistical analysis, and any preliminary recommendations that may come from this report on improving inspection practices, and then, of course, an accompanying presentation to the committee. So that's all I have, and I'm definitely open to input and comments on how we can approach this challenging project.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer. All right, committee members, does this tape to capture a good scope of work to accomplish the goal of what you had laid out at the last meeting in terms of conducting a research project?
Belcher?
Go ahead, Joe.
I feel it does, in fact, address our goal. I think, really, before we really do anything concrete, and not to be referenced in any materials, but anything, before we take any firm steps, we need to have some data on what we're looking at. We don't have any idea. We know we've had one building collapse in my lifetime in the state. We don't know what our records are on these inspections. We need to go into these areas that have been doing this and find out what they've been finding. To give us an idea of what we need to do. We don't even have any idea. 40 years is a good number, and this data could help us with that kind of answer those kinds of questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Committee members, other thoughts?
Jeff, Sergio, I was going to say.
Sure, Sergio, go ahead. Go ahead, Sergio. Sergio, we're not hearing you. I don't know. Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Now we can, yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Good morning, Jennifer. I just want to bring to your attention how these reports get submitted. So many times, the normal process is once an engineer or architect performs their inspection, they'll submit their report. And those reports, which are paper-based, will show a requirement for a repair. And they will many times identify briefly or what that repair is. And then they should pull permits for conducting the repairs and then eventually submit a final report which do not show any additional repairs and it's okay. So my intent with that comment is that there may be preliminary reports that you want to identify or seek which actually demonstrate the repair or show the repair, because the final report usually gives it all clear.
and you won't find any evidence and any required repairs on there. And of course, you know, building departments inspectors do not perform inspections on there. What happens sometimes is that once the engineer or architect performs the report, the inspection, and they submit that report to their client, that many times they will move forward with the repairs without first obtaining a permit. And then they will submit a final report to the jurisdiction with an all clear, and we may not know that repairs were performed unless that report was significantly late in the process because they took the time to make the repairs and they request extensions for the process, identifying that they're still making repairs. So that's when we kind of find out that they should have applied for that permit. So with all said, it's a matter of identifying which version of this report you want to be able to specify in obtaining, so that you, if the intent is to identify the repair and what type of repairs are being done, that's the report version you need to try to get a hold of. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Great, thank you. Noted. That's really, really great feedback.
Okay. Other committee members have any comments on the scope of work?
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff, this is... Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
All right, Eric, go ahead.
Okay. Just so I'm clear, this would be in addition to the research we've already approved, not replacing the research that we've already approved or any parts of it, correct? That's kind of what I'm hearing.
Correct, Jeff. Eric, correct.
Okay.
This is an addition.
Okay.
They took your recommendation not to proceed with the previous research project as well. All right, any other comments? Somebody else is going to speak a minute ago.
Oh, Jeff, this is John Plisich. This might be more for Mo, but okay. Is it possible, let's say in the May time frame, to get a 90% draft for review? So any comments that we provide that will give UF time to potentially address and or incorporate into their final report?
Are you talking about the interim report and the final report, or are you talking about the scope of work of the research project?
Yeah, for the scope of work, is it possible for us to get, let's say, a 90% draft report, let's say in the May time frame, so we can take a look at it if we have any comments that would give UF time to address the comments and incorporate them into the June final report?
It's really more for deliverables, Mo.
Yes. We'll make that, and then Jennifer, I'll work with Jennifer to make sure we get enough time to review the report. No problem.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yep, excellent thought. So the deliverables will be revised to allow the committee, you know, say a month or so before the final report to review that version of the draft and provide their feedback, and then so at the final meeting it'll be ready. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Sorry, this is Jennifer. Can I ask a question on that? Would it be beneficial to then have presentation earlier ahead of time, or would the presentation only be at the completion of the final report? I guess I'm just kind of wondering if we just want comments on the written, or if there'd be any benefit to some discussion.
Hey, Jennifer, this is Mo Madani. I think any time you feel, I think really what they're asking for is that, first of all, is that we make available the draft final report to say May 15th, so they'll have time really. But anytime you feel that there is a need to really to interact with the committee, we will be glad to hold a meeting for that. But at this point, really, the interim report, then the final report will be, you know, maybe move it to May 15th as a draft, and then a final as noted on the in the proposal, which is so. That really seems what I'm hearing. Sure.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments?
So, what, Jeff Schnellman?
Sure, Jeff.
Move approval as edited based on Mo's comments.
Okay. Okay, so if you don't mind, let me frame the motion to see if this gets what you're getting to, Jeff. So the committee would recommend that DBPR fast-track the proposal, authorizing staff to finalize the scope of work and deliverables, incorporating the revised deliverable of adding a draft final report by May 15th for comment, and then that DBPR should proceed with executing the purchase order. Is that capture that?
That is exactly what I was thinking.
Okay. Is there a second?
Belcher, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? All right, it is unanimous, and I want to make a note that Commissioner Swoop has joined the meeting earlier. He had contacted me by email, so I just wanted to make sure that the record reflects Commissioner Swoop's presentation and voting on this. So we had 15 members voting at this point unanimously in favor of this proposal. Okay. I think the next steps, certainly there's one next step, is that CICC will provide a version 2.1 draft, and then you'll have time, Mo will provide you with some time, community members, to provide comments back to Mo, and then those will be distributed to ICC, and then we'll have a meeting to review the next draft of this and provide additional comments on the appendix of existing building safety inspection guide document. Anything else? And of course, the research project, you'll get reports as that proceeds. Is there any other sort of next steps, committee members, that you think need to be in the mix? All right. Is there anybody from the public
Jeff?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
This is John Plissage again. I think it would, I had mentioned, but I think it would be helpful for FBC to provide a draft, paragraph or something to get us all on the same wavelength, if they're able and willing to do that. Maybe they're not. Maybe we just go with what ICC has. But I think that would be very helpful to review that intent from the FBC. Thank you.
All right, great. I'll add that. All right. Anything else? All right. Is there anybody from the public that would like to comment? All right. Any final work group member or staff comments?
Well, the staff will thank everybody for taking the time to be here and providing the comments, and hope to hear from you on the next draft. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Is Commissioner Schock, I'll turn it to you, sir, to adjourn.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Thank you, everyone, for taking your time and making the effort to review everything, and look forward to working with you again. And with that, if there's no further comments,